Hello and welcome to the third edition of the Castlebridge Podcast, the increasingly mistitled monthly podcast. Today, because everyone's out of the office doing work with clients, it's just myself and Peter. So we're going to talk about our favourite topics of Brexit, strategy and data ethics. So Peter, just to kick off talking about the B word, it's finally here.
Brexit.
Like shit Christmas. Brexit's here.
Brexit's here, yes. As Leo was saying this morning, it's only really half time in the game.
Yeah.
We've got as far as a withdrawal agreement, but nobody has a clue as to what's coming next. I don't think even the UK government currently has a clue as to what's coming next. Whatever's coming next is going to be problematic, certainly in the data protection arena.
Yeah, and we've been working with clients for the last 2 or 3 years looking at this and looking at what they need to do and trying to get them to get ready. And it is challenging and problematic. So we have a webinar coming up on the 3rd of February where we're going to go through some of the issues and some of the key learnings we have over from the past while. But for now, I think it's sufficient to say that anyone who thinks Brexit is done and that it isn't going to have an impact needs to take a long look at their business and where their data is coming from and going to and what their exposure into the UK market or to suppliers in the UK market is, because Brexit represents the, I think it's fair to say, Peter, the single one of the biggest fundamental changes in the market dynamics for businesses in the last 40 years.
Certainly in European terms, very much so. European terms and in British terms, it's probably the biggest change since the First World War. That's probably certainly the biggest economic change since the First World War.
Fantastic. Puts things in a fairly grim state, Peter. And again, we have some experience in Ireland leaving political and socioeconomic unions. We know that it tends not to go as cleanly as either side would want it to go. So there's some work to be done. So 3rd of February, we have our webinar going through Brexit. Details of that are available on castlebridge.ie/events. The other things we've been working on over the past couple of weeks, Peter, have been the submission to the Data Protection Commission's regulatory strategy for 2020 to 2025. Fascinating documents to be contributing into. One of the key things that came out of it as part of our activity was, again, this lines up with discussions in other supervisory authorities we've seen, is the role of the regulator in the whole thorny question of ethics and information management. As the office consequentialist, what's your perspective on regulators and ethical debates?
As far as regulators concerned, the role of regulators is to regulate. The role of regulators is to enforce the rules and to come on down hard on people who are breaking the rules. As a strategic shift from being a regulator and enforcer into being a nanny worrying about the ethical consequences of society's choices, I don't see that those two roles go together.
I think I disagree with you a little bit on that, Peter, because there is scope for those roles to operate together, but a regulator has to be very clear whether they're an ombudsperson or a regulator. And there is an awful lot of confusion, I think, in terms of the shallow end thinking, as I call it, around some of the debates around information ethics at the moment. We need to be clear what a regulator is actually empowered to do as part of their role. And ultimately, they are empowered to express the ethic of society, which is codified in law, through enforcement.
And that's exactly the point, Dara. Codified by law, decided by politicians, not by civil servants and not by regulators. Regulators enforce the law. Regulators do not drive the law, they enforce it.
Yeah, and then there are ways in which through enforcement, a regulator can influence ethical decision-making in organizations. And again, Catherine and I cover this in the book, in one of the chapters where we've adapted a well-established model for business ethics development, where the model recognizes situational modifiers for organizations and also individual moderators and modifiers of behavior. And a regulator can influence both of those through enforcement. Situational modifiers are influenced by them enforcing against organizations, not just issuing guidance, but actually stepping in when behaviors and practices are not in compliance with legislation. And from an individual modifier perspective, When individuals see that a regulator will enforce and will take action, then they will step up and they will file complaints, they will take action, they will seek to have their rights enforced. But that only works when a regulator is actually responding in a timely and effective manner to the issues that are being raised. And that's the key challenge and key dichotomy that regulators need to balance in terms of being forward-looking in their approach to the potential future legislation. But ultimately, when a regulator is a resource constraint, the strategic decisions need to be aligned with the core function, not the Santa wish list of things they might want to do. Would you disagree with me on that, Peter?
No, certainly not. As far as I'm concerned, people should stick to their knitting.
Yeah, sticking to your knitting is one way of putting it. But on the other hand, if you've got a choice between, and we encounter this on a regular basis when we, as a small business, Peter, there are things we'd love to do that we don't necessarily have the budget or resource to do. And we have to make choices on a regular basis about where we send people for speaking events, for conferences, etc. Because, well, is it really core to our business? And regulators are in the same boat. There are lots of things regulators can be asked to look at. Again, I think it's great that the Irish Data Protection Commission has drawn a very clear line around online harms, saying that's not her role. She's not there to police online harms. But when we start getting into the question of ethical information management, ethical data handling, again, how far does that role need to go before it stops being regulatory and becomes an aspirational talking shop?
Certainly, you know, that's a problem that I'm sure many people are currently encountering. Where people are getting blinded by the nice to do and failing to do the necessary.
And I think that's a key thing: is what is the necessary, what is the nice to do. So that's a nice way of leaving that hanging, Peter, because that's a key strategic choice for organisations to make. We've also done some work on data strategy with clients recently, where we saw that nice to do and necessary discussion having to be had with clients, where the important thing in terms of information strategy, with all the things we can do in terms of new technologies, new ways of working, new ways of gathering and processing data, it's really important for organizations to step back and say, well, what is it we are actually trying to do here? And is this actually helping us do this? And communicating that value in their strategy, both to their stakeholders, to investors, and also to their own staff. So their staff, the people in the organization, understand how what they are doing is contributing towards that bigger picture objective. And one of the mistakes we've seen a lot of in organizations recently is the adoption of new technologies without necessarily having a cunning plan for what that technology is supposed to actually deliver. Thoughts on that, Peter?
I spent a long time in the commercialization space, watching people invent technologies that they didn't know what to do with, and then bring to me and ask them, what's the application? Where can we sell this thing that we've invented? If the manufacturers of the products can't even develop product development strategies for them, I can well understand that the users are having difficulties. Where you need to go is back to your original corporate strategy. Any form of information or data strategy should be aligned and springing from your overall corporate strategy. And the issue, certainly that we've encountered in a number of clients is the simple fact that they either don't have a thought out corporate strategy or they have a corporate strategy, but the data strategy is at odds with the corporate strategy. One hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. They're all playing against each other and there's no alignment.
And that's the playing against each other doesn't necessarily happen intentionally. In a lot of cases, what we see is a gap in the data literacy in the organization. And I don't mean this in the way Gartner and Forrester and others have defined it. I mean it in terms of an actual rich, deep understanding of data in your organization and what it does and how it can be used and what it means at an operational and strategic level, not the ability to use particular tools and technologies. I see Accenture is driving this data literacy thing at the moment as an online marketing piece for Accenture. But again, it seems to be centered very much around learning how to use a particular piece of technology, which is like saying that literacy involves being able to use a Uniball ballpoint pen. That's not literacy. That's being able to use a pen. So in organizations, in terms of thinking about what it is they're trying to achieve with information, Senior management need to understand the value of data to their organizations and how that aligns with and contributes to their core business strategy and achieving core goals. And if they can't articulate that, then there's an issue. And if they can't find people who can help them articulate that, there's also an issue, or as we like to call it, an opportunity.
Indeed.
But to circle back, we've talked about Brexit, where there's a potential impact on the business strategy of organizations who are dealing with the customers in the UK or have suppliers based in the UK. From a strategic perspective, there's a need now over the next 11 months to do something. That'll differ from organization to organization. From the point of view of the regulators and regulatory strategy, it's understanding what is the core mission of the Data Protection Commission. And from there, I think all the issues around the extent of their involvement in the ethics debates will flow. And for organizations in general, understanding what your data is, how it's useful, and how it supports your key business objectives, and what information are you missing, is a key strategic task for 2020. Would you agree, Peter?
I certainly agree with all of that. So I'm just sitting here musing on data and to what extent organizations are seeking to change the way they look at data to fit in with their either systems integrators or the latest fashion, and to what extent they're actually looking at data as an organizational asset and trying to understand what they have, where they keep it, and how they could use it.
Yeah, I'm seeing, like I said this to my class in UCD last week, that I remember when CRM was a strategy for interacting and engaging with your customers to build relationships with them.
Was and that around back about, when it was called Siebel?
No, it was before it was called Siebel. Around about 2002, it became buying Salesforce or buying Siebel, which then became Oracle CRM. But once we start conflating and confusing a strategy with a technology, we have a problem. That's when you wind up with the requirement to put books on a shelf on a wall somewhere being confused with a need to buy a hammer. And that's why I'm not allowed into Woody's on my own.
Fair enough. I prefer to think of it in terms of PowerPoint and presentation. I've been presenting for 40 years. I've been using PowerPoint for 20. PowerPoint are pretty pictures. It's not a presentation.
Yep, I agree.
Presentation requires me.
Yes, a presentation requires Peter. It requires a person to be there. It requires ideas. It requires content.
It's kind of implicit in the word present.
Indeed.
Presentation.
But on that bombshell, we're going to just close off the podcast now because we're going to want to just remind people about the fact we have our webinar on the 3rd of February around Brexit. We'll be doing some additional public training around data protection issues and topics in the spring, rolling out from April. We're launching our new public training catalogue. If anyone's interested in training on data literacy or data governance, please feel free to get in touch with us. And also, if you're interested in finding out how we can help you manage and navigate the Brexit issues that might affect your organization, please do get in touch. Castlebridge.ie/Brexit has a summary of our key services in that area. So just to close the podcast, we've talked about Brexit, we've talked about strategy, we've talked about regulatory strategy, we've talked about the role of regulators in ethics, and we've talked about how just because I've sent you the PowerPoint doesn't mean you're getting a presentation. Look forward to talking to you all again next time.
See y'all later.
That was the Castlebridge Data Podcast. If you want to find out more information about the Brexit webinar on the 3rd of February, please check out castlebridge.ie/events. If you want to find out more about the Brexit service offerings from Castlebridge, please check out castlebridge.ie/Brexit.